If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament. Our passage this morning is 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. As you listen and follow along to the Word of God, I encourage you to listen for how God provides in these few short verses. Yeah, before we read our passage, let me pray and ask that the Lord would bless the reading and the preaching of His Word. Let me pray. Gracious God, You have told us that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of You. Open our eyes that we may see wondrous things in Your Word. Lord, You have promised that all Scripture is breathed out by You and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So, Lord, we ask that through Your Spirit You would illumine our hearts and apply Your Word to the deepest part of our hearts. Speak, Lord, for Your servants listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear now the reading of God's Word from 2 Kings 6, verses 1 through 7. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan, and each of us get there a log, and let us make a place for us to dwell there." And he answered, "Go." Then one of them said, "Be pleased to go with your servants." And he answered, "I will go." So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, his axe head fell into the water, and he cried, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, "Take it up." So he reached out his hand and took it. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. In 1969, mathematician and meteorologist Edward Lorenz coined the term of phrase known as the butterfly effect. He had been studying the unpredictability of events and how minor things seem to influence greater events. And while he first described his studies using seagulls, he realized that that was not the most catchy of terms, and so he decided to switch to more beautiful objects, butterflies. And so now we use the term butterfly effect, which holds that small causes can have large effects. So for example, in 1914, political tensions were rising in Europe. The Black Hand terrorist group had tried to assassinate the Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria several times, but they had been unsuccessful. On June 28, a man that they had hired, Gavrilo Princip, had found himself struggling once again because he had failed in his assignment. In his despair and discouragement, he decided to do one simple thing. He went and ordered a sandwich. And upon getting his sandwich, he sat down and started eating, all to realize that a car pulled up carrying the Archduke Ferdinand and his wife. Princip seized the moment and used the time to assassinate the Archduke and his wife. And these events eventually led to the starting of World War I. You see, a seemingly insignificant stop for lunch led to a group of events which resulted in a world war. As Christians, you and I don't believe in chance. We know that God is in control of everything. Yet at the same time, often seemingly insignificant things lead to more important events. And sometimes God uses these situations to provide for His people. However, you and I are prone to forget how God has provided in the past and doubt that He will provide for us now and in the future. What the psalmist said of Israel in Psalm 78, verse 11, is true of you and I today. They forgot His works and the wonders that He had shown them. Yet thankfully, God in His grace gives us countless illustrations in Scripture of his faithful provision. And that is exactly what we find here in this short passage tucked in this book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament. God provides for his people, and that's an incredibly comforting thing for us. In fact, because God is the creator and sustainer of all, we can find great hope in his faithful provision. In order for us to understand this from our passage before us this morning, I want us to notice three things that this passage teaches us. First is that God provides for the seemingly insignificant. Secondly, God provides in the seemingly insignificant. And third, God provides through the seemingly insignificant. God provides for, in, and through the seemingly insignificant. At first glance, this passage may not stand out as that important of a text. My guess is that some of us hear this passage and think, how in the world could an axe head float? That defies the natural laws that you and I experience every day with metal objects and water. They sink. And so we might be tempted to dismiss this as even a historical event. Or maybe we think there's some natural explanation that maybe Elisha slid the axe head over into more shallow water. Or maybe he somehow was able to take his stick and put it through the opening of the axe head and bring it up out of the water. And if you find yourself here this morning doubting whether something like this could even happen, I simply want to ask you one question. Do you believe in the resurrection? If so, then is it really that big of a deal for the God who raised Jesus from the dead to make an axe head float? Yet my guess is that most of us don't doubt the historicity of this event, but maybe we struggle with understanding how it applies for us today. Maybe if you're like me, you think, hey, that's cool, an axe head floated, and then move on, failing to realize that that has something to say to you and I today. In other words, this is a seemingly insignificant passage. Yet if we stop and examine the details, there is much that it says to you and I here today. And so the seemingly insignificant passage first teaches us that God provides for the seemingly insignificant. If you have your Bible open, look with me back at verse 1 of our passage. It says, "Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us.'" Who are these sons of the prophets? The reality is that we don't know a ton about them, but the little that we can gather from the books of 1 and 2 Kings is that they're some type of a prophetic guild. Moreover, if we read through 1 and 2 Kings, we find them following first Elijah and then Elisha. In other words, they are prophets in training. That is to say, they are the Old Testament seminary students, which is great news for people like Jonathan and myself, the seminary students. Yet, as we think about this idea of these prophets in training, we realize that they are not the spiritual giants of the faith. They're not Noah or Abraham or Jonah or Daniel. They are ordinary people who have grown in number and now need bigger dorm rooms. Moreover, if you look with me down in verse 3, it says, "Then one of them said," and it tells us what he said. And then down in verse 5, it says, "But as one was felling a log," it tells us what happened. You see, these men are so seemingly insignificant that the text doesn't even record for us their names. But yet, they're faithful men following God in a very dark time in the history of Israel. God's people were following false gods, and it was a hard time. But these men are part of a group of 7,000 that had said, "We are not going to bow our knee to Baal." They are part of a small, faithful remnant. And here in our passage before us, we find God providing for them, as seemingly insignificant as they might be. Brothers and sisters, do you feel insignificant? In a world of over 7 billion people, it's easy to feel that way. We can be quick to think we have just gotten lost in the shuffle. Moreover, we can feel insignificant in the kingdom of God. After all, you and I aren't the Apostle Paul or Martin Luther or Billy Graham. And so oftentimes we believe the lie that God only cares about the significant people of the faith. And then there's little old us in our situations, and God couldn't possibly care about us here in Clover, South Carolina in 2017. Because we often feel insignificant, we are prone to forget about and doubt God's provision. My grandfather on my mom's side loves to tell the story about Poppy, who was my great-grandfather. Poppy was a wealthy businessman back in the early 1900s, and he did extremely well, but lost almost everything when the stock market crashed in 1929. As a result, his family went through an incredibly difficult time financially and provisionally. Several years later, the family was still struggling because Poppy decided to leave his profession as a businessman and went to school to train to be a pastor. And so, at one point, the family found themselves without any food in the house. And on one particular Sunday evening, they were getting ready to head to church, and Poppy noticed a plaque that always hung on the wall, which read, "Jesus never fails." And in a moment of doubt and discouragement and despair, Poppy looked at that plaque and flipped it over and walked out the door. It just didn't seem like the Lord was providing. Friends, this passage reminds us that God does care about us. And He does provide for us. God cares about those of us who feel insignificant. Friends, remember, God made you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. He made you in His image, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if your faith is in Christ, then you can know that He chose you before the foundation of the world. And He provides for us, as little as we might feel. Don't ever let the devil convince you that God won't provide for you because you're not that significant. God delights in providing for His people, and this passage makes it clear. Not only does God provide for the seemingly insignificant people, but He also provides in the seemingly insignificant. That is to say, God provides for His people in the midst of what doesn't seem like it's that important. The mundane of life. If we look at the context of this passage, we realize that it is sandwiched between two very important events in which we find God providing for His people. If you have your Bible open, look with me back at 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 tells us about a man named Naaman, who just so happened to be the commander of the army of the king of Syria. Pretty big deal. And he had a disease called leprosy, which was a big problem. And by God's grace, he heard that there was a God in Israel and a prophet who might be able to help him. And so he goes, and by Elisha's direction, he goes and dips himself 7 times in the Jordan River, and he is cleansed. And while we may think, oh, it's just one guy, but he is the commander of the army of the king of Syria, one of Israel's greatest enemies. And so this passage has very important political ramifications for that day and age. In other words, it's a pretty important passage. Then if you look with me in chapter 6, the verses right after the passage we looking at this morning, we find God's people Israel at war with this same nation, Syria. And things don't look very good. Look with me down at verse 15 of chapter 6. It says, "When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' He said, 'Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." We find here another fairly important passage in which God provides for his people, his nation as a whole. And in light of these two passages, an axe head doesn't seem that important. And in some senses, it's really not. It only affects this one man, or perhaps these few people who are prophets in training. Yet, does that matter to God? Not at all. He provides for this one man in a seemingly insignificant situation. Through the prophet Elisha, God caused this axe head to float. You see, God delights in providing even in the seemingly insignificant situations. Friends, this is great news for you and for me. We can find great comfort knowing that God provides in the little situations of our life. In fact, we have all sorts of seemingly insignificant things going on that we need the Lord to provide for us. We must remember that just because God is great does not mean that he is too big for us and what is going on in our life. You and I get in trouble when we make God in our own image and we think of him as the CEO type person who is way too busy with more important things than you and me. Friends, this is not our God. Rather, he cares about the small things, the minute details, the needs of people like you and me, no matter how big or small they might be. The hairs on your head are numbered. God cares about your axe head. So what is your axe head? What is the seemingly insignificant thing in your life that you are tempted to believe can't possibly matter to God? Maybe it's a situation at work or with your family. Maybe it's a small health concern that has just been bothering you for a long time. Brothers and sisters, God cares about the little things in our life. He is not too consumed with bigger things to care about what we have going on. Moreover, we must ask ourselves, what are we doing about our axe head? What does this man do? In verse 5, it tells us that he cries out, "Alas, my master, it was borrowed." And then he shows Elisha the exact place where it fell into the River Jordan. You see, this man didn't keep his situation to himself. He cried out for help, and the Lord provided by making it float. And so I ask you, are you crying out about your axe head? Or have you believed the lie that God has more important things to deal with? Often I'll hear people tell me about a situation in their life, and afterwards I'll ask, "Can I pray for that?" And they'll say, "Oh, don't worry about praying for that. God has bigger things to worry about. There's other people that are much worse off than I am. Pray about them. Don't waste your time praying about me." Yet, friends, we have a God who isn't bound by time and space. He can handle more than one situation. And even if it may seem insignificant, the Lord cares about it. God provides in the seemingly insignificant situations in life. Yet the reality about these things is that they, most of the time, are significant, at least to us. At first glance, we might miss the significance of the situation this young prophet found himself in. We might think, why doesn't he just go down to the Israelite Home Depot or Lowe's and buy a new axe head and give it to the man he borrowed from? Not that big of a deal. Well, it wasn't that easy. The word translated axe head in Hebrew signifies that it was an iron axe head. And that's important because iron was a rare commodity at this time. 1 Samuel 13 tells us that the Philistines had a monopoly on iron. So therefore, it was extremely expensive. This man wasn't wealthy enough to have an iron axe head, so there was no way he could earn enough money to pay the debt when he lost this axe head. It was something he couldn't replace. It was as if he had borrowed or wrecked a borrowed car. So what would he have done? His only option probably would have been to sell himself into slavery to pay off his debt. So therefore, upon closer study, we realize that this man's seemingly insignificant situation was actually a pretty big deal. And God provided for him by making the axe head float. Y'all, oftentimes our situations that may on the surface seem not that important, or at least to others, are actually quite a big deal. Maybe for you, it's grieving the death of a pet or a friend who people just can't quite understand why it is such a hard time for you. Or maybe it's the death of a loved one that happened years ago that you can't seem to get past, and it's grieving you, and yet other people think you should just move on. Or maybe it's conflict in your marriage that started small but has grown to a much bigger deal that even you don't want to admit. We all have tough situations in our life, and God says in His Word that He provides for us from the biggest to the smallest and everything in between. In the story earlier about Poppy, my great-grandfather, the Lord did provide for them. While they were at church, someone came and delivered groceries and put them in the refrigerator and in the cupboards. And they came home and found a kitchen full of food. The Lord knew their need and He provided. And friends, God promises to provide for us. He doesn't promise to give us exactly what we want, what we think we need. But He does promise to provide exactly what He knows that we need. So we've seen that God provides for the seemingly insignificant and in the seemingly insignificant. And now lastly, we see that this passage teaches us that God provides through the seemingly insignificant. We see this in a couple places in our passage. First, look with me back at verse 3. It says, "Then one of them said, 'Be pleased to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.'" You see, this son of a prophet asked a seemingly small question just for Elisha to accompany them down to the Jordan River. And he goes. This man didn't know what was going to happen, and neither did Elisha. Yet he asked, and Elisha went. And unbeknownst to them, God in His sovereign wisdom knew that this axe head was going to fly off and to fall in the river and sink, and that Elisha was going to be needed to cause it to float. He ordered the circumstances in order to provide for this man. Friends, God provides for us in similar ways. He works in the details to accomplish exactly what He desires to provide for His people. I was reminded of this by thinking of a lady in our church who had traveled with her family down to Charleston, South Carolina. She's an older lady and was on her way back. And it so happened while she was traveling that she had a major heart attack with 100% blockage in one of her arteries. Yet by God's providence, she was not driving. Her daughter was. Moreover, they were on I-77 in the town of Rock Hill, which meant they were minutes away from the hospital. The seemingly insignificant details of the story potentially saved this lady's life by God's grace. God provides through what seems like insignificant things. We also see this by the simple way that God provided for this man. How did the axe head float? Elisha simply cut off a stick and threw it in the river, and the axe head floated. What was so great about this stick? Nothing. It wasn't a magic stick. It was just an ordinary one. Yet God used something ordinary to make an axe head float and to provide for this man in his time of need. And God does the same for us. He uses what seems like insignificant things to bring about exactly what He wants. Maybe it's the way that God brings us to a specific place in life or moving us. God uses little details to provide for His people. He uses the things that we wouldn't expect to accomplish His plans. And we see this most clearly in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Think about Christ. Where was He born? In a stable in Bethlehem. Small town, not the greatest place. Didn't seem that significant, at least to the world. Moreover, the Bible tells us that Jesus was from Nazareth. And in John 1, we find Nathanael saying, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Yet God accomplished his great plan of redemption through the seemingly insignificant man from the town of Nazareth. Moreover, the cross can seem insignificant in terms of salvation, yet it's what God used. Hear what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." At first glance, the cross doesn't seem like that would be important, but yet for you and I who are God's people, we know that that was how God provided for our greatest need, us being reconciled to him. Friends, we can know that God provides for us. We can see it through the cross. God also provides through the seemingly insignificant because he uses people like you and me. We don't seem like we're that important, but God provides for others through us. Sometimes he does that through prayer. Prayer can seem like an insignificant thing in the kingdom of God. We might be tempted to think, all I can do is pray. Pray for that person. Pray for the situation. Pray for our country. But prayer is not a minor thing. Hear what A.C. Dixon says. He says, "When we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. When we rely upon eloquence, we get what eloquence can do," and so on. But when we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do. When we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do. Friends, don't ever despise the seemingly insignificant. God very well may be providing for you or for someone else through that. So as we close our time this morning, remember, God delights in providing for his people. He does so by reminding us in this passage that he provides for the seemingly insignificant, in the seemingly insignificant, and through the seemingly insignificant. Life is hard. You and I are prone to forget God's provision. This was true for Pastor Charles Spurgeon. He often struggled with depression throughout his ministry. Yet he found great comfort in reminding himself that God does provide. And he would often do this by preaching to himself the simple sentence, "The axe head did swim." Friends, if God can make an axe head float, he can provide for you and me no matter what we are going through. It may not be exactly what we want, but it will be exactly what we need by God's grace. Let's cry out to him and find him to be the only one who faithfully provides for us in our time of need. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, we are people in need of you. Lord, if we stop and are honest about the situations in our life, things are tough. Lord, but yet you tell us in your word that you provide for us. Lord, I pray that you would impress that truth upon our hearts. Would it be a balm, Lord, that heals our weary souls? When we look to you to find the one who graciously provides everything that we need. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.